Hi there, boys and girls. This is the Children's Bible Club coming to join you for a quarter hour of singing, Bible time, and a good Bible story. I'm glad you've joined us, and I hope you can stay up with the Bible Clubbers and sing right along with them. In the world today, when so many things in life are topsy-turvy and people don't seem to know what to do, even many children are insecure, not knowing what will happen next. And it's wonderful to know that we can know the Bible, God's holy word, and depend on every promise just as God said it. We can depend upon his promises because God is holy. He cannot lie. He will not lie. Whatever God says is so. You can depend on it. So trust in the Lord with all your heart and join us as the choir sings. Thank you, choir. Your singing is a blessing. And even if some of us can't sing so well, we can sing along in our hearts and maybe even sing out loud. The Lord loves a joyful heart that sings his praises. So I wonder today if you'd like to tackle a big question. As you read the scripture, it's amazing how often the phrase, "For his mercy endureth forever," is written. Now, you know that the word endureth is an old word for our word endures, which means it lasts or goes on forever. Sometimes it says, "For the Lord is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Or it may say, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." And aren't we so glad that God is merciful? Without his mercy, we'd be sunk. So now here's your question. In Psalm 136, how many times do you read the phrase, "For his mercy endureth forever"? In the 26 verses of Psalms 136, how many times do you find, "For his mercy endureth forever"? Be careful now. Don't miss one. Then send your answer to me, Aunt Carolyn, 6331 Chestnut Street, Milton, Florida, 32570. That's Aunt Carolyn, 6331 Chestnut Street, Milton, Florida, 32570. Or you can look it on your computer and type in the Children's Bible Club on your search bar, and you can find the address that way. All right, there's your a good stumper for today. But maybe it won't stump you. I hope not. I hope you'll meet the challenge with the answer and write me today. Send your answer to me, Aunt Carolyn, 6331 Chestnut Street, Milton, Florida, 32570. I'll be looking for your letter. Now, here's the choir before story time.
Oh,
Today's story is A Brutal Bargain. You may remember that the tribes of Gad and Reuben and half the tribe of Manasseh got Joshua's permission to live on the east side of the Jordan River. That was all right, except that it made them easy prey for the neighboring Ammonites, forever enemies of Israel. The Ammonites had a treacherous king, Nahash, who was determined to war against Jabesh-Gilead and wipe out the little town. The people were terrified when they saw his huge army marching relentlessly toward them. They were no match for such a tyrant. Certain death lay ahead. In anguish, they sent messengers to King Nahash to plead for their lives. "Have mercy," they begged. "Please do not kill all our people. If you'll only spare our lives, we promise to serve you and be your obedient servants." What more could the king ask than that full surrender? He would have their land and property and an army of slaves. But that wasn't enough for Nahash. His cruelty was ruthless. "Oh, you want to live, do you? I'll make you a bargain. You surrender, and let me thrust out all your right eyes. Otherwise, we'll wipe out you and your town, and it'll all be over." What a shock! How could this king even devise such a wicked plot? How could soldiers wield swords or hot irons and violently poke out every person's right eye? What pain! What agony! What screaming! How many would die from the bleeding and torture, and any who survived would be forever scarred and shamed, and Nahash would glory in conquering and disgracing Israel. What a horrible fate! Yet the people were helpless against this fierce king. They were in the jaws of death. After much anguish, they appealed for time. They said, "Let us have 7 days' delay to send messengers to our brethren for help. If no one comes to our aid, then we will surrender, and you can do as you wish." The king agreed, assured of victory, for who would dare come defend these pitiful people at the risk of fighting the great King Nahash? The messengers ran full speed to Gibeah, where their new king lived. The awful news spread like wildfire. Everyone in the city began to weep and wail, and when Saul came in from the field with his herd, he heard the awful noise and crying, and instantly asked what was wrong. When he heard of the brutal plan of King Nahash, Saul was furious. Suddenly, he was no longer the timid new king. The Spirit of God came upon him. He immediately killed a yoke of oxen, cut them into pieces, and sent the pieces by messengers to every tribe of Israel with the burning message, "Do you see this hunk of meat? If you don't come and fight with Saul and Samuel, your oxen will be hacked up just like this." Well, the fear of God fell on them, and the people came. Soon, Saul had an army of 330,000 men ready for battle. He sent the messengers from Jabesh-Gilead back home with wonderful news. "Help is on the way. We'll be there by the time the sun is hot tomorrow." As in, "Never fear, Saul is here." The men of Jabesh were overjoyed, but they didn't let Nahash know it. They sent word that they would come out and surrender to him when the sun was hot the next morning. Then he could do as he wished. Now, under the cover of darkness, Saul divided his men into three companies. And at the crack of dawn, Saul's army took the Ammonites by surprise, stormed their camp, and killed the enemy right and left. The battle was so fierce that the few Ammonites that weren't killed fled for their lives, scattered, every man for himself. What a glorious victory! Jabesh-Gilead was saved, and the people still had two good eyes. They could see, and they were free. Saul had come to their rescue, and all Israel was jubilant in their new king. They remembered a few men who had murmured against Saul being made king. They demanded that those men be killed. But when Saul heard of such talk, he declared, "No, God has given us this great victory, and no one will be put to death today." Then, in all the celebration, Samuel stepped up to the front. "God has blessed us this day. Let us go up to Gilgal and renew the kingdom there. Follow me." So, although Samuel had earlier anointed and announced Saul to the people, he now led a public ceremony with many sacrifices of peace offerings before the Lord, and Saul was formally inaugurated as king. He was now officially King Saul. Oh, the people were jubilant. It seemed that their demand for a king was turning out just fine, in spite of all Samuel's warnings. Isaiah said, "We've turned every one to his own way. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Choosing our way instead of God's way has drastic consequences, even though it may seem good and acceptable for a time, as Israel would soon find out. Only by following and obeying God's word will our path come out right, for our good and God's glory. So seek the Lord and His will today. And now, God bless you.
You have been listening to the Children's Bible Club, a ministry of Grace Bible Church and Santa Rosa Christian School in Milton, Florida. If the stories and songs have been a blessing to you, why not write and let Aunt Carolyn know? When you write, be sure to mention the call letters of this good radio station. Send your letter to Aunt Carolyn, 6331 Chestnut Street, Milton, Florida, 32570. When you write, ask for a free brochure of all the Aunt Carolyn stories, as well as other good Christian books and materials for children and adults. That address again is Aunt Carolyn, 6331 Chestnut Street, Milton, Florida, 32570. You may also visit our website, childrensbibleclub.com. Keep listening and tell a friend about the broadcast so they can listen too. Now, I'm Adam Watt saying God bless you until next week at the same time.